The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagble Ago.
In the headlines, General Secretary of NPP and member of party's communications team to appear before Supreme Court to answer contempt charges. Supreme Court to finalize election petition hearing. World Bank Group to deepen collaboration with Ghana as it opens ultra-modern office complex in Accra. Insurance brokers asked to help change landscape of industry in Ghana. Ministry of Transport initiates measures to reduce carnage on roads. And Nigeria makes progress in war against Boko Haram despite recent killing of scores in mosque. But first, the summary with Najagle Ago.
The Supreme Court will today finalize hearing on the 2012 election petition before the verdict. Today's sitting follows oral presentation by lead counsel for the petitioners and the respondents at its last sitting. Meanwhile, the General Secretary of the NPP, Kwejo Osefuye, and a member of the NPP communications team, Hobson Adoye, will appear in court to respond to alleged contemptuous comments. The World Bank Group has opened an ultra-modern office complex in Ghana to foster greater collaboration for the country's public and private sectors. Inaugurating the complex, Vice President Kwesi Wissa-Arthur said the state-of-the-art office signifies the long-lasting relations between Ghana and the group. The Ministry of Transport says it is taking pragmatic steps to reduce carnage on the roads. Speaking at a listed press series in Accra, its sector minister, Mrs. Jifar Atibo, said some of the measures being put in place include extension of a computer-based theory testing for the acquisition of driver licenses. And Nigeria says its army is making progress in its fight against Boko Haram, despite the killing of 44 people in a mosque. Meanwhile, Boko Haram has not commented on the mosque attack, but news of it came as a video emerged of the group's leader, Abubakar Shekau, saying his followers carried out recent attacks, including some that targeted the police and the military.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
The news now in detail. The General Secretary of the NPP, Kwejo Osefuye, will today appear before the Supreme Court to answer questions, contempt charges brought against him by the court. The court on August 9 this year issued summons directing the NPP General Secretary to appear before it today and demonstrate why he should not be charged for contempt of court. In the same boat with Sir John is a member of the NPP communications team, Hobson Adoye, who is also being summoned to appear before the same court to purge himself of contemptuous comments he allegedly made against the bench. The summons is asking the two to show why they should not be committed for contempt, scandalizing and lowering the authority of the credibility of the court and creating hatred and ill will towards the first and second respondents. The first and second respondents in the presidential election petition are President Mahama and the Electoral Commission. After several pieces of caution to the public, the Supreme Court on June 24 this year issued a final warning to lawyers, journalists, political activists and social commentators against making prejudicial comments on the ongoing presidential election petition. When it realized that the warning was not being heeded to, the court on June 26th this year banned a Deputy Communications Director of NPP, Samuel Ewuku, from attending the election petition hearing until the final determination. The court has already imprisoned two persons for contempt. They are Ken Kranchi of the Daily Searchlight newspaper and Stephen Atubiga.
And still at the court, the Supreme Court will resume sitting today to finalize hearing on the election petition before the final verdict. At the last sitting, lead counsels gave an interrupted oral presentation for 30 minutes each, while the lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, prayed the court to do what no court in Africa has been able to do, by invalidating the election of President John Mahama in last year's polls. All three respondents prayed the court to dismiss the petition for lack of merit. Bubu Klinugo and George Asikari have the detail in this review.
Today's sitting will afford the nine justices hearing the election petition an opportunity to seek clarifications and ask questions on the written submissions filed by the lead counsels. After today's hearing, A mandatory judgment will be given in 15 days' time. At the last sitting, lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, prayed the court to invalidate the victory of President John Mahama and declare the NPP's candidate in the 2012 elections, Nana Akufo-Addo, as the rightful winner.
When all the categories of violations, malpractices and irregularities are combined, the aggregate vote affected is 3,931,339. When the results from these polling stations are announced, the first respondents would reduce by 2,622,551, resulting in him securing 41.79% of valid votes cast. The first petitioner's total votes would be reduced by 1,233,186, resulting in him securing 56.85% of valid votes cast. This honorable court is being asked to perform a judicial sanction that no court has so far been able to do in Africa, to declare presidential election outcome invalid and another candidate as validly elected.
The counsel for the first respondent, Tonelita, said the petitioners limited their claims to evidence on the face of the pink sheet, a situation he described as ridiculous. He said petitioners failed to prove a single case of the alleged irregularities and asked the court to dismiss the case.
The constitutional right to vote is fundamental. It's inalienable. It's a God-given right. When somebody comes before your lordship and says that I won election, not by vote cast, but speaking to another vote, your lordship should scrutinize it. And we say that no case has been made for your lordship to disturb the status quo.
For his part, lead counsel for the second respondent, James Kwasi Aidan, said the petitioners failed to convince the court on why votes should be annulled. He said the elections were conducted openly in the presence of all parties, and agents of the petitioners attested to the validity of the results on the pink sheet.
My Lord, I am suggesting by way of submission that nothing changed. The ballot continued to be counted openly, having been cast openly in public. They were counted openly, attested to by the agents and signed on openly. We would respectfully submit that the petitioners have failed to prove their case before your lordship. Not one single vote ought to be annulled.
Quoting from the Evidence Act, lead counsel for the third respondent, Chachuchi Kata, said the witness of the petitioners, Dr. Mahamud Baumia, did not have personal knowledge on the issues before the court, hence lacked the capacity to give testimony. He described the petition as legally pathetic, factually empty, poor in arithmetic and logic, as well as deficient in statistics, and asked the court to dismiss the case.
We believe that this petition has been shown to be factually empty in terms of not having any supportable evidence being produced. It has been shown to be legally pathetic because the claims that are being made have no legal standing whatsoever, especially this claim about serial numbers. The petition has also been shown to be poor in arithmetic, because you cannot have the same numbers when you are reducing polling stations, and certainly extremely poor in logic.
You had lead counsel for the NDC, Chachuchi Kata, and then Bubu Klinogu and George Asikiri's report.
In another development, the vice chairman of the NPP, Fred Owari, has again stressed the need for supporters of the party to keep calm and stay at home and wait for the Supreme Court verdict. He said the party believes in peace and will ensure that there will be no disturbances from the supporters. Mr. Owari said the day is going to be a normal one for the individuals in question and all party members.
We want all our members to keep calm. There's no point for anyone to congregate on the premises of the Supreme Court or anywhere near power. That's a matter that is legal and there are due processes which must be observed. What we are advising them to do is to stay home or at best just meet at the party offices and just encourage themselves with some exhortation, some songs of praise, and generally remain peaceful. We do not want this to degenerate into any unpleasant events. We are absolutely absolutely certain that nothing untoward will happen.
You issued a statement calling on the members to remain calm and not to troop to the Supreme Court to avoid confrontation with the police. But how do you ensure that members abide by this directive?
I think we have very disciplined members. They listen to the voice of leadership. We are absolutely certain it will not happen. That is how come we've opened the party office for those who otherwise feel like they're stepping out of their homes to show some time.
Is the party scared the two leading members may face the wrath of the Supreme Court?
It's a legal matter. The court would look at the evidence before them, and based on what the statute says, they will rule according. Whatever comes out, we are prepared to abide by the ruling, more or less than that.
But then if you were to give them pieces of advice, what would you tell them?
Well, to be law-abiding.
You heard Vice Chairman of the MPP, Fred Owari, talking to Agatha Samoa.
A lecturer at the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana, Legon, Professor Pisi Jonah, says the country is not polarized and will continue to enjoy peace during and after the Supreme Court's verdict. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Professor Jonah said, once political leaders have pledged to accept the verdict of the Supreme Court, the followers will do the same. He, however, said patriotism must be taught in schools to foster national cohesion. He spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
I don't think the country is any more polarized now than before the election. Anytime you enter an election, people take very partisan positions. And unfortunately, the 2012 elections, the extent that the outcome is still being contested in court, makes it appear as if the 2012 presidential elections, especially, isn't conclusive. It's like we are still in the election mode. And that is why it appears as if the society is polarized.
Now, let's look at the issue where the Christian Council wants us to foster tribal, ethnic and national cohesion and promote a nation with one people and a single destiny. Has our educational sector done enough to imbibe the sense of nation first among students?
I started school soon after independence in the 50s, and one of the most popular subjects in school, at British school especially, all the way I think up to middle school at that time, was civics, which is something like patriotism. Unfortunately, this very important subject, civics or patriotism, was expunged from the school curriculum at some point in time. And this particular subject fostered the love of fatherland in the people. And even at that time, we knew the distinction between the good citizen and the bad citizen, and the characteristics of a good citizen, the characteristics of a bad citizen. Unfortunately, we've taken this out of the curriculum. You are absolutely right. Our school system is not fostering enough national cohesion.
Lecturer at the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana, Professor Pisi Jonah, sharing thoughts with Agatha Asamoah.
The chairman of the National Peace Council says the council will continue to urge the leadership of the NPP and the NDC to advise their supporters to not to do anything that would disturb the peace the country is enjoying. Speaking to Radio Ghana, its chairman, Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, said peace is a vital commodity that should not be allowed to slip off.
We've been trying to sensitize the public about the need to allow the rule of law to take its course. I believe that the concern of the petitioners was to seek redress justice because they feel that something didn't go well. And for me, that is constitutional because our constitution allows us to do that. Justice emanates from the people, but it is administered by the judiciary on behalf of the republic. There are a lot of people who think that we are even overhyping things. And so people felt that, we're making too much noise on these issues. But I think for me, I don't get tired speaking. Nobody can exaggerate on peace because, if we will have to speak on peace throughout the 365 days, it is the better because without peace, there will be no development. One thing that, a lot of people must understand is that when you are talking about peace issues, it's not a matter of public gimmick, just coming to have publicity stunts. You talk to people on one-to-one. The major parties, we are seeking to find ways and means to get them talk, not just before the Supreme Court verdict, but even after the Supreme Court verdict, because, we're living in a country, Ghana must become one in everything that we do, instead of simply polarizing and over-politicizing every issue that comes up.
And that was the chairman of the National Peace Council, Most Reverend Emmanuel Asante.
A security expert, Emmanuel Swati, says the meeting between the security chiefs and the president will give the ordinary person confidence that the president wants to do something to safeguard the security of the country. He told Radio Ghana that though the president is a party to the case in court, he still has the constitutional mandate to ensure the security of the state above his political interest.
Well, I don't see any problem with that. However, sometimes you want to know the details of what we had discussed, and that to not be on air. So why, for example, would someone be interested in the operational and the tactical things they might have discussed with him? If actually they had, maybe they did not. I'm saying that because when it comes to the operational and the tactical details, maybe if those details, if people perceive it to be friendly towards one particular political persuasion or not too comfortable for other political persuasions, those who are not comfortable, what input, what role can they play at this time? I'm talking about the issue of perception. How does this meeting fit into the broader national security effort to have cohesion across political divide, across ethnic divide, across religious divide? Be an MP, and that's saying sitting DCE is head of the District Security Council. When it comes to operational, strategic, and even tactical issues that are discussed, what are the windows for members, aspiring members of parliament who are not part of the DCE, to also have that information and also make sure that their concerns, their fears, their interests also are factored into the tactical, operational, strategic discussions?
This has an issue where the certain president and the opposition have a case in court. It isn't like the ordinary elections. How will this play out to the ordinary man on this?
I think that for me, the ordinary person would want some form of assurance. For me, this particular verdict would give the ordinary person the notion that actually the security wants to do something to stabilize the country. However, I think others might also say that once the president is also a party to what is the Supreme Court, will he have information that he can easily use against the opposition or those who are not in his camp? The last issue brings us to the issue of why do you prioritize your national security vis-a-vis party interest? It's a very long and hard problem that is a conundrum, not easy to solve.
Okay, but how will you discuss this meeting? Is it timely?
To be honest with you, I think that we are still drawing lessons. I don't want to preempt anything. I think we are still drawing lessons.
You heard a security expert, Emmanuel Swati, in that interview with Yahya Huamo.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. General Secretary of NPP and member of party's communications team to appear before Supreme Court to answer contempt charges. Supreme Court to finalize election petition hearing. World Bank Group to deepen collaboration with Ghana as it opens ultra-modern office complex in Accra. Insurance brokers asked to help change landscape of industry in Ghana. Minister of Transport initiates measures to reduce carnage on roads. And Nigeria makes progress in war against Boko Haram despite recent killings of scores in mosque.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
The news at 6 continues. The general secretaries of the four political parties with representation in parliament have held a news conference in Accra to refute the conclusion of the Corruption Perception Index that recently ranked political parties second in Ghana for their perceived levels of corruption. Parties represented at the news conference were the NDC, NPP, CPP and PNC. The speech was read by the General Secretary of the CPP, Ivor Greenstreet.
We accept that corruption is a problem and that our society continues to suffer its consequences. We accept that greater anti-corruption actions are needed in all public decision-making, including better rules on lobbying and political financing, making public spending and contracting more transparent, and making public bodies more accountable to the people. What we refuse to accept is how corruption in the public sphere makes political parties as institutions corrupt, especially when there is no evidence to show so. The effect of this survey is to compromise public confidence in political parties, thus undermining the entire democratic process. We all surely agree that to sustain democracy, the party system must be permanently and deeply embedded in Ghana, and that no other form of government apart from democracy has any significant legitimacy. We believe that we play an indispensable role in this quest to strengthen democratic governance. The implications for any induced disaffection with political parties caused in part by this survey is serious, especially as we continue the critical process of entrenching democracy at all levels of society. It feeds into the dangerous, palpably false, and unfortunate perception that politicians are a privileged class, self-serving, and unaccountable. The media feed frenzy on any story to substantiate this perception, leading to a loss of confidence in the system. Perceived corruption caused by alleged or proven breaches of the law by individuals or public officers who happen to be members of political parties does not, by extension, make those parties corrupt.
General Secretary of the CPP, Ivor Greenstreet.
Vice President Bagwesi Misa-Ata has inaugurated the ultra-modern office complex of the World Bank Group in Ghana. This is expected to foster greater collaboration and provide better service for the country's public and private sectors. Vice President Misa-Ata said the office complex symbolizes maturing and long-lasting relations between Ghana and the World Bank Group. 30-year reports for Radio Ghana.
The World Bank since 1957 has supported Ghana with about $10 billion through the financing of projects including the Akosombo Dam. Vice President Misa-Ata said Ghana's relations with the World Bank Group has been long and fruitful.
It's a relationship that has developed the use of the analytical capacity of the group, which led to the structural adjustment program, and through the process of the support of the IDA for the public investment program in Ghana, to the support for public sector institutions and their growth in the country, and then develop into support for the private sector, especially small and medium enterprises. It is also gratifying to note that it is a mature relationship with the World Bank Group after Ghana's graduation into middle-income status.
The World Bank Country Director, Yusufa Crooks, said the bank values its relations with Ghana. It will therefore collaborate with her in efforts to further transform the country's economy.
We do know one thing for sure, and that is that today Ghana has an unrivaled opportunity to harness an emerging source of large-scale resources to propel and to sustain high growth. The key challenge as we look at these prospects is frankly going to be using these resources to foster higher and sustained growth in the non-oil sector. Looked at from the outside, I think the building says very, very clearly that the World Bank Group is here to stay for a very long time.
The Vice President of the World Bank Group in charge of Sub-Saharan Africa and Latin America, Jean-Philippe Prosper, praised Ghana for taking the lead in Africa's economic renaissance. Seth Iyia, reporting for Radio Ghana.
Ghana has been ranked 99th in the world and 4th in Africa in the Insurance Industry Index. This therefore calls for hard work and innovation to meet the competition in the sector. Speaking on the topic, the insurance broker, an international perspective, the senior vice president at Marsh and McLennan, Kwabena Akutu, said brokers as the gateway to the insurance market must strengthen their structures to meet international dimension and reshape the perception that insurance is for the upper class. He was delivering the second in a series of lectures organized by the Ghana Institute of Brokers Association as part of activities marking its 25th anniversary in Accra. Asibi Bangui Kela has the rest of the story.
Many years ago, insurance in Ghana was associated with vehicles, and because of its complex arrangement, it was just a niche market for the upper class. But the recent fires at markets and other public places raised the need to create the awareness and entice people to take up insurance cover. The senior vice president of Marsh and McLennan, Kwabena Akutu, believes insurance brokers have played a significant role in acquiring businesses for underwriters. He bemoaned the lack of detailed knowledge about insurance and asked the brokers to educate the public to capture the market now that Ghana is an emerging middle-class country. Mr. Akoto encouraged brokers to obey insurance laws and regulations and be passionate about their clients' needs. He thinks the future for the industry is bright.
The way forward is continuous education and development. Also, development in terms of technical expertise. We also have to be transparent and work together with the insurance companies, as well as the reinsurers, to identify ways in which we can grow the insurance industry. By so doing, we can come up with new products and innovative products, as we call it, to pitch to the general public so that they can value those products. I think 25 years from now, we can see a different industry than what it is today.
The Commissioner of Insurance, Lydia Laribabawa, said brokers are to play a central role in claims management to turn the Ghanaian market into a broker's market. Madam Bawa said the National Insurance Commission will support them in diverse ways and encourage them to let their clients comply with the provision of the compulsory fire insurance.
We need to create the awareness, the need for insurance. We need to take advantage of it because it means there's opportunity out there. And we need to educate the people, create the awareness for them to realize that there's a need for insurance. It's about time we made the insurance of the workman's compensation compulsory. Because there are small broken firms. So they do not really have the capacity and the expertise. And you know that there is unity in numbers. People do not really know who the insurance broker is, but they play a crucial role. In the UK, the market is 100% a broker market. You can buy insurance only through a broker. In Nigeria, I'm told it's about 80%. In Ghana, it's less than 10%.
The chairman of Afariwa Group of Companies, Nana Usu Afari, who presided at the function, advised the younger generation to learn from their senior colleagues.
Asibi Bangui Kela filed that report.
The first half of the year has seen significant reduction with regards to road accidents. Records show 4.68% reduction in crashes and 2.9% reduction in deaths. Notwithstanding these achievements, the Ministry of Transport is still putting in place measures to help reduce road accidents by a wider percentage. These include the extension of a computer-based theory testing for the acquisition of driver's licenses. The Minister of Transport, Mrs. Jifativo, said this when she took her turn at the Meet the Press hearings in Accra. Priscilla Usman has something for Radio Ghana.
Mrs. Jifativo added that the National Road Safety Commission will continue with its implementation of the Road Safety Strategic Plan in the country. She also mentioned some projects that have taken place and are still ongoing in the aviation sector.
The general challenges facing the sector: inadequate funding to support infrastructure development, inadequate training institutions and requisite infrastructure to provide skilled personnel to enhance capacity development, encroachment and lack of title to land for transport infrastructure development, aging fleet of commercial vehicles flying our roads, unacceptable number of fatalities and damage on our roads, inadequate patrol boats and security equipment for surveillance to ensure maritime safety, security and prevention of marine pollution at sea and on the inland waterways.
You heard the Minister of Transport, Mrs. Jifativo, ending that report by Priscilla Uswansa.
And on the foreign front, Nigeria's Interior Minister Abba Moru says the army is making progress in the war against Boko Haram despite the killing of 44 people in a mosque. The mosque attack happened during dawn prayers on Sunday, although news only emerged on Monday because communications had been disrupted by the state of emergency. Boko Haram has not commented on the mosque attack, but news of it came as a video emerged of the group's leader, Abubakar Shekau, saying his followers carried out recent attacks, including some that targeted the police and the military.
The Israeli military has shot down a rocket launched from Egypt towards a popular Red Sea resort. An Al-Qaeda-linked militant group claimed responsibility for the attack, fueling concerns that jihadist groups are trying to disrupt the Israeli-Egyptian peace treaty. It is the first time that Israel has deployed its Iron Dome rocket defense system, Eilat, in a resort near Egypt's Sinai Peninsula that is popular with Israeli and European tourists.
And now to end the news, the main points again. The General Secretary of the NPP, Kwejo Osuefuyi, and a member of the NPP Communications Team, Hobson Adoye, will appear before the Supreme Court today to respond to alleged contemptuous comments. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court will also finalize hearing on the 2012 election petition before the final verdict. Today's sitting follows oral presentation by lead counsels for the petitioners and the respondents at its last sitting. And the Ministry of Transport has said it is taking pragmatic steps to reduce carnage on the roads. Speaking at the Meet the Press series in Accra, the sector minister, Mrs. Jafar Tibor, said some of the measures being put in place include extension of a computer-based theory testing for the acquisition of driver licenses. The news was presented by Najat Gliago
and Abraham Donko in Accra.